I'd like us to turn tonight in God's Word to Luke's Gospel, chapter 1. Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, please. We're going to break into the chapter the words of verse 11. And it finds us been introduced to Zacharias in particular, and to the visit of the angel to him. Luke chapter 1, then, and the words of verse 11. There appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son. Thou shalt call his name John. Thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. Many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zacharias said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb, and not able to speak, until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. And it came to pass that, as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days his wife Elizabeth conceived, and hid herself 5 months, saying, Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. And in the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. The angel came in unto her, said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the 6th month with her who was called barren, for with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. We have entitled our message, The God of Impossibilities. Let's just unite our hearts together as we come to the preaching of God's precious word. Our Father, we thank thee for thy presence with us already this evening. We do not take that for granted. But Lord, we claim thy promise where the 2 or 3 are gathered together in thy name. There am I in the midst of them. We thank the Lord for these hymns of Zion we've been singing. We would pray, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. I pray, Lord, that thy Spirit would brood over this congregation. Thy Spirit will be poured out upon us tonight as we come, Lord, to thy precious word. Give us, Lord, eyes to see. Give us hearts
to hear and to feel. Oh God, we pray that thou would come and speak to every weary soul. Lord, we pray there will be a word for thy children, and that there will be a word for the unconverted. I pray to that end thou would fill me with thy spirit and with power, that I might preach, Lord, not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but, O God, in the power, demonstration of thy blessed Spirit. Hear this, our prayer. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The final words of anyone are important, and they're worthy of notice, not least when they are spoken by an angelic being, and one who introduces himself as having come from the presence of the Lord and sent to declare a message of glad tidings. That was what Zacharias was to experience as Gabriel had come to him and told of how his wife, who was barren, and his wife, who now was on in years, was going to have a son. And that son will be called John. He will be a spirit-filled preacher, and he would turn many in Israel unto the Lord. Sadly, however, for Zacharias, he was unbelieving. And therefore, in verse 18, he asked the question, wherefore shall I know this? And dear people, that wasn't a question of astonishment. That is a question of sheer unbelief. As if as much to say that the word of God through Gabriel was not enough. Of course, we know that for the best part of the next 9 months, Zacharias was to be dumb and speechless. Something that was verified by Gabriel in verse 20. And you'll notice what he says, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. He was riddled with unbelief. And that is why he asked the question, wherefore shall I know that? Thankfully, that was not the response of Mary when she had a similar visit by the same angelic being. For it was Gabriel who was to come to her 3 months later to tell of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And while we have three other occasions in which Gabriel is mentioned in the Scriptures, we have already mentioned the first one in Zacharias. There are two more with Daniel. When we come to the visit made to Mary, indeed, what we're looking at is the last recorded one. And how informative these words were to be as he spoke to her and reminded her that she was one who was highly favored of God, that she was one who would know the presence of God, and that she would be blessed among women, and that she had no cause to fear or to be troubled about the message that she was about to hear. You see, it's obvious from verse 29. It indicates to us that there was surprise and there was a fear at the manner of salutation that was being given by this angel. It was not usual for any woman to be addressed in the manner of "Hail," not even by her husband in those days. And so, naturally speaking, Mary didn't know what was to come forth. Mary didn't know what to expect. What is clear is that this young woman came from a remote town called Nazareth, and yet the Lord had singled her out for a special task. And she is, in some respects, an illustration of 1 Corinthians 1, whereby we read that God is pleased to use the weak things and the base things of this world and the things that are despised. But what that task was, she was about to be told. And the last recorded words that we have of the angel Gabriel are the basis of my text tonight. As you find them in verse 37, where it says, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." The God of impossibilities. I want you to come with me tonight as we get into this text. I want you to see, first of all, the announcement. That which Gabriel came to tell Mary was the announcement that the faithful had been waiting for many a long century. Ever since that time back in the Garden of Eden, When Adam and Eve sinned against the Lord, when they rebelled and they took of that forbidden fruit, and God came in the cool of the day, and he came with the promise that the seed of the woman would come forth, and that the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent. There was that anticipation, and there was that expectation of the coming Messiah. And men and women, this announcement has to do with the Messiah. It was something that Mary understood, for she was to hear words, for example, of verse 32, where it says, "He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David." He will be great. He will be great in his person, for here we're looking at the blessed God-man. He will be great in his offices as prophet and as priest and as king. He would be great in his word and in his deed. Someone wrote, his words were oracles, his works were miracles. We read in the scriptures, never man spake like this man. He would be a great savior, and he's the author of a great salvation. The miracles that he wrought and the proofs of his deity and of his messiahship, they will be great. And what's more, he will be called the Son of the Highest. And of course, that is God, as the name of the Most High is used by Melchizedek way back in the book of Genesis, as he renders praise unto the God for the deliverances that he gave him, even over his enemies, through his servant Abraham. This is a title which could not be said of any other than the Lord Jesus Christ and the Messiah who was to come. And men and women, you can see that while these words align him with God, they also align him with man, as he would be after the lineage of David. And he would not be given this kingdom by men, but God would set him upon the holy hill of Zion, and his kingdom shall be an everlasting kingdom. And Gabriel states it in verse 33, there shall be no end. And one day yet to come, all the kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdoms of our Lord and of our Savior Jesus Christ, and he shall reign forever. It is unmistakable. An announcement about the Messiah who was promised of old and was now about to be given. And Mary had a part to play in that. But you'll also notice that the announcement is with regard to a miracle. For we come to verse 31, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. This angel is to announce to Mary that she would be the vehicle through whom the Lord Jesus and the promised Messiah would come into this world. And that would be a miracle in many respects. In that God, whom the heaven of heavens cannot contain, yet would confine himself into the womb of this woman and would take upon himself the form of our nature, yet without sin, he would become the servant of man. Is that not a miracle? It would be a miracle that Christ, the eternal Son, would leave the realms of glory behind to be born into this world. You see, that's why Isaiah states it as he does, a child being born and a son being given. It wasn't the other way around. He did not have his beginning at Bethlehem, for in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He is the eternal Son of God. You'll notice that the angel Gabriel says in verse 35, that holy thing shall be called the Son of God. What an impossibility! What a miracle! Mary hears it as this announcement is made unto her. But not least, it would be a miracle in that he would be conceived, and he would be carried, and he would be brought into this world by a woman who had never been in union with any man. Elizabeth, even though she was barren, even though she was old and on in years, she still had a husband. But you'll notice verse 27 reveals to us that Mary was merely a spouse to Joseph. There was an agreement that they would be married in time to come, but that had not as yet taken place. She had no husband, and thus what the angel was announcing was something that was humanly impossible for any birth, for anyone to be born into this world. There needs to be that union in the biological sense. But in the case with the Messiah and the birth of Him, in the incarnation of the Lord, this would not be the case, for He would not inherit any of man's sin. The devil would have nothing in Him, and He would be virgin born. And as the Scriptures remind us, in Him there is no sin, and there was no guile to be found in His mouth. His coming would be a miracle, but how could this be? For with God, nothing shall be impossible, that's how. For God is not bound by the laws of human reasoning. I want you to notice that when this announcement is made, there is the means spoken about. And Mary needed to hear these words. And child of God, never you forget it. The Lord knows what you need to hear before you ask Him. And the Lord knows what your need is before you ask Him. And Mary needed to hear this. And with Mary being asked to believe something that was from a human perspective impossible, there's a query in her mind. That query you'll find in her question in verse 34. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Her query is not one of unbelief as it was with Zacharias. She's not doubting what the angel Gabriel said unto her. She's merely inquiring as to the means in which this would come about. The means by which this would take place. What she was being told was beyond human possibility, and so she is desiring to know by what means this promised birth would take place. How shall this be? The answer that she received was to show that it was beyond human possibility, except by the working and by the power of God the Holy Spirit. As Gabriel reveals in verse 35, the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Let me just stop there. The Holy Ghost was to empower her. The Holy Ghost was to envelop her. The Holy Ghost would come upon her, and the outworking of that would be miraculous. And you know, such is the outcome when the Holy Ghost is said to work in what is known as revival. You think of this. Human possibilities are overturned. And that which seemed impossible is seen to take place. And you think how any soul is born again. And child of God, you think how you were saved. You think how you were born again and made right with God. Or you think of someone in your family tonight or someone up the town tonight and the worst of the sinner in the eyes of the world, and suddenly they're changed. And that's something that no preacher can wrought. And that's something that no church can wrought. But if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things passed away. Behold, all things become new. It must come about, and it only comes about by the same power and the same work of the Spirit that has been spoken about here by Gabriel, even in this very passage. The Spirit of God has to come and has to do that work. That's what the Savior revealed to Nicodemus. If you turn over to John chapter 3, here's a religious man, here's a ruler, and yet he wasn't saved. And the Savior was to say to him, marvel not that ye must be born again. And he goes on to say in verse 8, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, and canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. The Spirit must come and do that work. If God, the Holy Spirit, does not come and do that work in the heart, then that soul is not saved. And dear child of God, you look out in our town tonight. Or you think of that loved one in your family tonight. You think of the countless souls tonight that are careless to the things of God and have no inclination whatsoever to be found in the house of God. They have no care over their soul. And you might be forgiven into thinking that it's impossible that they would ever be saved. You see, so did Ezekiel. For Ezekiel in his vision was asked to look on the Valley of Dry Bones. And Lord God said to him, can these bones live? And the only answer he could return was, Lord, thou knowest. And God commanded him to preach unto the dry bones. And the dry bones started to form one to another. The bones came to the right bone. There was the sinews, and then the flesh came over it all. And they were there, and they stood up as it were, but there's still no life in them. Coming of them together. But there's no life. That was until he was commanded to preach unto the wind to come upon them. And the Spirit of God breathed upon them so that they lived. And then they stood up as a great army. Dear people, that is the means by which we can yet see God at work through his word. It's not by might. It's not by power. It's with my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. The means whereby this miracle would take place would be by the Holy Ghost. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. And I want to tell you tonight, it's still the means whereby a sinner can be convicted and brought to that place of repentance and of faith. Holy Spirit yet does his work of convicting of sin and of showing men and women their undone state and of speaking of Christ. And it's my prayer that God by his Spirit will come into this very meeting house this evening and do his own work. You see, you have the announcement. I want you to see also here the encouragement. Mary was encouraged as she heard this announcement to believe what she had been told. That encouragement comes in the form of our text and the last recorded words of Gabriel that we have in the Scriptures. You will understand that the words of our text is not the first and only time in which we find them in the Scriptures. Here is an encouragement that it is repeated, albeit in a slightly different order our way in other places. But it is a verse that is repeated. Let me show you. You come back with me to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 19. There you will find the Savior speaking to his disciples and how difficult it is for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. It comes on the back of that rich young ruler coming that day, running to the right person, running to the Savior, asking the right question. What shall I do that I might inherit eternal life? And we know that he was an upright man, and he said he kept all those commandments from his youth, and yet there was something that he still lacked. He had a covetous heart. And we read that the Savior, in telling him the way of life, yet he does not follow the Savior, but he goes away sorrowful, for great was his possessions, and he would not give them up. And the disciples heard this. And the disciples saw this. And all that they can ask to the Lord is this: who then can be saved? Who then can be saved? If that young man, who was upright from his youth and kept those commandments, and yet he turns away and he leaves the Prince of Life and the preacher and he doesn't follow the Savior, who then can be saved? And it is the Lord himself that answers in verse 26, "But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." We know from Matthew 27 that we're introduced there to a rich man. He's called Joseph of Arimathea, and we're also told that he was a disciple of the Savior, and he went and he begged the body of Christ that he might prepare it for burial. Thank God the Lord can save the rich man tonight. Here's something that is impossible with man, but it's not impossible with God. Aye, and thank God he can save the poor man tonight, for we read of the beggar Lazarus, who merely looked for the little bread, the crumbs of bread from the rich man's table, and yet he was saved. I want to tell you tonight, God is able to save you, sinner, regardless of your monetary standing in the eyes of this world. The same words are found there. You come into the next gospel account, I'll give you another example. Mark chapter 9 this time, the Savior is confronted by a boy who was possessed of an evil spirit. And while the disciples could not cast him out, the Savior said those words to his father in verse 23. Jesus said unto him, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." All things are possible for the one who believes God's word. The words of Gabriel are that encouragement, because they've been repeated. God speaketh once, yea twice. Man perceiveth it not. And I wonder how often has God spoke to your heart, and how often has God encouraged your heart, sinner, and he has showed you his way of salvation, and he has showed you maybe a loved one and her friends got saved. Yet you've still hardened your heart. These words were an encouragement, not only because they're repeated, because in the context you will see that there is the reflection. You'll notice the first word of my text, it says, "For." And that begs you to go back. It begs you to look at the previous verse. And you'll notice there is a reflection on what God has already done. You picture this in your mind's eye. The angel Gabriel is meeting with Mary, and he's telling her this announcement. And he comes to verse 36, "As it is with you and me in the Scriptures, and behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren, for with God nothing shall be impossible." And you see it? It's as much as to say, the angel is telling Mary, if God can cause Elizabeth, who was barren and who is old, to bear a child, then with God nothing is impossible. And she's encouraged as she's caused to reflect and to look back, because Elizabeth was now 6 months. 6 months into her pregnancy. Dear child of God, when things may seem impossible, then just consider those things that God has already done for you in the past. Reflect upon the blessings that he has bestowed upon your life, in that he saved you, and that's a miracle. For like every one of us, you were born in sin and shape and in iniquity. Your heart, your will, your mind, your whole being, it was inclined towards sin and away from God. You were the children of wrath, even as others, serving the old devil and the lust thereof. But God, who is rich in mercy, he reached down with his matchless grace, and he was to lift you up, and he placed you in Christ, and you've been justified by faith, and you've been redeemed with precious blood, and you couldn't do anything for yourself, but God did it. And if God did that for a sinner like you, thank God he can do it for a sinner beside you or in front of you. He can save you from an eternal hell. For with God nothing shall be impossible. He can save the hardened sinner in this very meeting tonight or under the sound of my voice. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Maybe I'm preaching to someone tonight. You've got a husband and they're not saved. And you don't know how you can live for God before him. Maybe a wife. Dear woman, dear man, the Lord can give you the grace. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Maybe I'm preaching to someone and your partner's backslidden tonight. And they're not sitting beside you where they should be. And you're weary. God is able to give you grace to be winsome and to see them brought back. Maybe I'm preaching to someone tonight. Your soulmate is not here this Christmas time. God has called them home to glory. And you don't know, humanly speaking, how you're going to get through. How you're going to get into the new year. God will help you. He hasn't finished with you. He's still a task for you to do. That difficult situation in the workplace. How can you keep your testimony before that scorner? Before that blasphemer? For with God, nothing shall be impossible. There's an encouragement in one other way. Not only in it is repeated, and there is a reflection, but because of the reason. And the reason that Gabriel gives is the power of God. You see my text tonight, you see the little word impossible. It comes from the same word as power. From where we get the word dynamite. And so it could be rendered like this. God is not without power. Not some encouragement. With God there is no lack of power as there is with men. With God there is no frailty. With God there is no impotence. And I'm very conscious that there are those with round collars on tonight in this land, and they preach a God who's like an old grandfather type figure, and he's impotent and he can't do anything, and you must help him. Greatest lump of rubbish you'd ever heard. That's not the God of the Scriptures. The God of the Scriptures is a God who is almighty. He's all powerful. And Gabriel says as much to Mary, God is not without power. And where His Spirit is at work, then there is power. And the Holy Spirit coming upon Mary would cause her to be with child, and she would bring forth that Holy One. Only the unbounded, the unlimited power of God could cause that to happen. And maybe just within moments, that conception was to take place as the Holy Ghost came upon her. Dear people, that is the same powerful God that we worship this evening, and His Holy Spirit is yet able to come in such power upon His people. And we would say tonight that that is what is needed today in these hearts of ours. That's needed today in our churches. That's needed today in our land. And you know, the Lord has given us every encouragement, as He states in Acts 1 and verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me. If ye being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, then how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask him? Don't miss it. That the working of God's Spirit always causes holiness. Let me read the rest of verse 35. The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. You know, that's how you can test many a thing described to the Spirit in these days. And we are to test the spirits. You can test the spirits abroad today. If it's not holy, if it doesn't bring forth holiness, it's not of God. And that's the work of the Spirit. And it's my prayer that God, by His Spirit, would come upon a soul tonight. You who are steeped in sin, you who are burdened with that sin that you've come in with, and God would so wrought upon you that you would be convicted of that sin, and He would show you where you're heading to with your sin, and He would show you the Lamb of God, the only sin bearer. That you by His grace would call upon Him to save you. What encouragement that will be. Let me show you finally the accomplishment. With Gabriel having given the message that he was to deliver, the response of Mary is commendable. The words of my text may be the last words of Gabriel that are recorded for us, but they're not the last words in the passage. For if you look at the next verse, 38, there's faith on Mary's part. And it says there, and Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." That must not have been easy for her to say. There was submission on her part, even though it would endanger her to having a blemished reputation, even though there was a danger of estrangement from Joseph and the shame that would come upon him, even though there's even the threat of death itself, for in those days the adulterers were stoned. Men and women, therein lies the secret of seeing things accomplished which may seem impossible in our sight. It is in resting on the promises that God has given in His Word. Mary just believed. "Be it unto me according to thy word." And for the sinner, that is what you also must do for salvation. When God says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but should have everlasting life." When God comes in the invitation of the gospel, and He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." I wonder, will you take God at His word tonight? For those words of John 6:37, "All that the Father giveth to me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." Will you take Christ at His word tonight? Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That's God's promise. And sinner, you haven't claimed it, and you won't stand on it, and you won't rest on it. Well, I wonder, will you come to do so tonight? That's always also the case with a believer. The Christian must rest in the promises that God has given, where God has said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." When God has said, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." When the assurance is given, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." And every other promise in the book that He has given to you. Oh, child of God, rest on them tonight. The accomplishment that sees the problem of man's heart dealt with is not impossible with God either. He's able to change the heart. He's able to give the sinner a new heart. He says, "And a new heart, new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh." There is no heart that is too hard for the Lord, for with God nothing shall be impossible. He has but to speak the word, and it shall be done. I like the way J.C. Ryle puts it. when he comments on our text tonight. Let me read it to you. There is no sin too black and bad to be pardoned. The blood of Christ cleanses from all sin. There is no heart too hard and wicked to be changed. The heart of stone can be made a heart of flesh. There is no work too hard for a believer to do. We may do all things through Christ strengthening us. There is no trial too hard to be borne. The grace of God is sufficient for us. There is no promise too great to be fulfilled. Christ's words never pass away, and what he has promised he is able to perform. There is no difficulty too great for a believer to overcome. For when God is for us, then who can be against us? The mountains shall become a plain. End of quote. I think that's good. And dear loved one tonight, the sinner tonight, right now, is able to be a possessor of eternal life because of the accomplishment of Christ and his work of atonement on the cross of Calvary. Oh, the Savior came that he might go to the cross. And we've touched on the announcement concerning his birth. But he came that he might go to the cross and he might purchase eternal life through his death. How can fallen man, deserving only of the wrath and the judgment of God for his sin in a lost eternity, instead have eternal life? He can't buy anything of himself. You can't work it. You can't pay your way there. Your association with this church or any church won't get you there. But with God, nothing shall be impossible, for Christ hath died. Yea, he rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, and who also maketh intercession for us. Dear unsaved loved one, you can have eternal life right now, all because of Christ. What he has accomplished through his death on the cross. He was virgin born. He had to be virgin born if he was going to be our Savior. He lived a righteous life and he died an atoning death as a sinner's substitute, dying in our guilty room and place. And he finished the work that the Father gave him to do, and God was satisfied. And thereby he is just. Or don't forget it, he didn't turn a blind eye to your sin. He punished it on the person of God's Lamb. He laid it on Christ. And the Savior bore the punishment that was ours. And he bore it away in his own body on the tree. He is just and also the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. You can leave this meeting house tonight possessing eternal life. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. I wonder, will you come tonight? Dear loved one, you know who you are. God has brought this message, this text to your heart. You know how often you've rejected the Savior. I wonder, will you come this evening? Settle the old account. Leave this house saved and sure of eternal life in heaven one day. May God help you. I trust the Lord will bless his word to each of our hearts for his own name's sake. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer, please. In closing, we'll not sing anymore. There is life, life, eternal life. Jesus alone is the giver. Life, life, abundant life. Glory to Jesus forever. Burdened one, will you come tonight? Will you come now and seek the Lord while you may be found? I'm here afterwards. I'll gladly open the scriptures to you, point you to the only Savior. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy presence with us this evening. I thank the Lord for this glorious text. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Thank the Lord you're able to save the down and out. Thank the Lord you're able to give a new heart tonight. Thank the Lord you don't do a renovation job. But Lord, you do the work of regeneration by thy Spirit, whereby they're born again. God, I pray in the closing seconds of this meeting that thou wouldst speak on, thou wouldst work on in that soul that has still rejected thee. And they've heard the announcement of the gospel. They've heard the announcement of good tidings. Yet up until now, they've said no. Oh God, give that deciding grace. Give the gift of faith tonight. That loved one might bend the knee, might come to the cross by faith, and accept Christ as their Savior. Oh God, hear our prayer. Have mercy on souls. Encourage the hearts of thy children. Lord, through the trials of life, we pray they might know that with God nothing shall be impossible. Hear our prayer. Part us with thy fear and thy favor. Give us Journey of Mercy's home. We pray these things in our Savior's precious name.